Welcome, everybody. This is for the Victory Lane podcast, and today is Monday, the 3rd of October, and I believe the subject today is something to do with the Ozarks. Why are we going to the Ozarks? Anybody got an answer to that?
You lead, Alex, and I'll follow.
Well, I think first what I should do, as always, Kellick, is thank you and Victory Lane for all you do for vintage racing and for the attention you've paid to the events that VSCDA has. We're very excited about having this event in the Ozarks, and it's a tremendous opportunity for us to broaden the geographic area for our constituents in the Midwest, primarily in the Midwest, although we do have other parts of the country, and also to make a little bit of vintage history on a new track that we think is absolutely extraordinary. And maybe with that, I should turn it over to Dan, who has raced on the track already.
And just as a point of reference, you probably know where Hartville, Missouri is. It is the population center of America. So people talk about this track not being particularly convenient to anybody, but it is equally distant to everybody. The location couldn't be more perfect. Plus, it's in the scenic Ozarks, which are also beautiful.
Given my location, my familiarity with the Ozarks is pretty minimal. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the scenic Ozarks?
The Lake of the Ozarks, which is the sort of the tourist attraction near the racetrack, is one of the largest man-made lakes in the country. Huge tourist attraction during the summer, but that gives us a huge base for our people off season for housing and food and accessibility. So the location is really good. The J.R. Persick, the builder of the track, picked a piece of land that is absolutely storybook. It is in a very rural area. No neighbors complain about the noise. We can go from dawn to dusk, and nobody's going to be calling the police. I'm not sure the county has any police. He was building his dream home in the county, went to the city hall with his plans to get a building permit. They went, building permit? What are you talking about? So it's a perfect location for a undertaking of this magnitude. The track is all kinds of topographical changes, as well as long straights and short turns, and it's just a beautiful combination of just about everything that can be thrown at a racer.
How wide is the racing surface, do you know?
Yes, I do. The narrowest part of the track is 39 feet. It's a boulevard. It's amazing. And he had pretty much kept this whole project under wraps for a couple of years because he didn't want people poking around. The first thing he did was put the track down and give it plenty of time to cure. So not only is it wide, but it's very substantial. The track bed is just a magnificent racing surface.
Well, that's good. Obviously, you know, building a track is a major undertaking. And if you're going to tow your car all the way there, you certainly want to have a great surface to race on. Lots of tourist amenities. Are there automotive amenities within, you know, like if I lose a synchro in the gearbox, can I, you know, drive 15 minutes into town and pick up all the parts for my 1962 Triumph? Or
more likely your Ford Focus.
Okay.
There is a O'Reilly's in the nearest town.
I had a Ford Focus at one.
Well, that you'll be taken care of. Import parts would probably have to come FedEx, which is accessible to the track. There are automotive for your tow vehicles and for your street vehicles. Not much. Them parts, I think they call them furin cars.
Furin cars.
And
right.
Probably not a big stockpile of furin car parts.
Right. So as a racer, who travels with VSCDA that supports events like this? I mean, you know, like if Who brings cars to this event for BSCDA racers? How about that? Is that a better way to put that?
Well, it's because it's pretty much a volunteer mom and pop, no offense, Alex, organization. Most of the people are very self-sufficient. Some of them have enclosed trailers, some open. There are a few rigs that show up that cater to the fly and drive, but that's not our main stream group. We're thrilled and hoping to make a success of it in the Missouri area, because for St. Louis, everything that we experience is an 8 or 9 hour tow, whether it's Road America, Groton, we go to Gingerman, Mid Ohio, all those tracks. So we're used to an 8 or 9 hour tow. I don't know that people would object to that coming this direction. I hope not. It's 3.5 hours from St. Louis.
Yeah. I mean, and why would they object? I mean, you know, other than if I say Road America, everybody with a race car, building a race car, thinking about building a race car, et cetera, all can draw a picture of that in their head, right? You know, so with a new facility, new track, you know, it's a new experience. And sometimes people are, even though they'll drive 170 miles an hour, they're not very adventurous, right? You know?
Well, that's a good point.
Right. So go on.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, so it sounds like really, you know, it's a beautiful place. It's a brand new track with an amazing racing surface, lots of room. So passing is good, and a great family atmosphere. Is that fair?
I think that's a fair statement, but it's 4 miles. It's the same length as Road America.
Oh, really?
And while they were building the track, they were in weekly communication with the powers that be at Road America, getting their sage advice on how to make this happen. This was not something that was a vest pocket project that didn't have any adult supervision. track was computer generated before it was laid out in real time. He had great professional advice. Having raced it, I can tell you that I differentiate it from a race track to a road race circuit. It is beyond the 2 mile fairly repetitive track like Gingerman or some of these smaller tracks. It really gives you the feeling of road racing. It meanders. It's got 19 turns, and it just really keeps you involved in the hunt. But it is not for the faint of heart. It's a really extraordinary effort, and it should be experienced by any serious racer.
Sounds great. So what we're telling people is that this is not a club circuit. This is a Road America, Road Atlanta, that caliber of circuit. And just because they don't know about it, well, that means they got to come and try it.
I would say that most of the people that have come and tried it can't wipe the smile off their face for days afterwards. It's just, it's a gift that keeps on giving. I'm glad to have lived long enough to be able to race at this track. I'll never live long enough to master it. It is a real challenge in the best possible way.
Dan, what kind of car do you race?
I raced a Miata, a spec Miata there in June, but we this time around we'll bring vintage Formula Fords to the event.
Right. Okay.
And we have Formula Continentals, which we're trying to maybe dumb it down a little bit with slower cars so we can learn it easier. So we're not going to bring the Continentals. We'll bring the Fords.
Got it. Well,
I think with the folks who put this together, they looked at world-class tracks that are, say, revered within the racing world. And they didn't clone them, but they wanted to build within that spirit of the great road courses. I mean, I think that's what I noticed so quickly from Dan and others when they came back saying, you know, we've got to get into this and get into it now, because once people are aware of it, it's going to get booked up. At the and I was going to mention, we have constituencies all over the Midwest but also folks from Texas that come up to our events. And the beauty of this is it sort of balances out where we are, you know, with the geography of the club. We have a huge number of people in the, I'll call it metropolitan St. Louis area, large numbers in Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, et cetera, that, you know, make the schlep to the tracks we have that are more northern. So that's part of what's wonderful with all this is giving the folks in the other part of our geography something in their backyard. But it's not just saying there's a track in their backyard. There's something of world-class aspirations and with the facilities there to really bring another phenomenal part to the different events that VSCDA has. And that was what I really felt the most from Dan and others and his co-chairs, Sharon and Scott, when they were, you know, talking about this and saying, let's go for it, and pouring all their time and effort and enthusiasm and love for it into it. And just that local community really fired up saying they have something in their backyard also that they can, you know, bring to the club.
Yeah, I've heard good things. I'm trying to Heartland Vintage Racing. I know the guys from HVR ran there, and I think they're mostly, you know, like A sedan type cars, and they had a really good time. And you know, people with those cars don't like running go-kart tracks, right? So obviously it's a track that's suited to, you know, fast cars and power and so on like that. And this is, you know, I didn't know any of this, but this is how you learn, is you ask questions, right? You know, what's this place like? Well, it's quite impressive, you know? And of course, if you're in a major metropolitan area, you know, you kind of tend to assume anything that's outside, you know, your immediate reach is probably not very impressive, right? You know, but obviously that's not true. You can't come with expectations other than the expectation to have fun. So
I would analogize this track. I don't know if you follow Formula One at all. I'm a casual observer, but I watched the race at Spa a couple of months ago, and this track is a dead ringer for Spa.
Wow.
It's got that same elevation changes, long straightaways, some tight turns. I would have to analogize it with Spa if I could compare it to any other track.
Well, that sounds good. Spa, but probably with better barbecue nearby. So, you know.
Much. But not as good bread, probably.
No. No, probably not. Awesome. So what does it cost to enter this event?
The entry fee is $565, if I'm including from memory. But they have the best garage system of any racetrack I've ever been to. They've got capacity. They've got 50 garage doors that will accommodate, most of them will accommodate two smaller cars. We can put 80 cars under roof in this beautifully renovated garage space. The garages are an extra $100 the weekend. And if you split it with another car, you're $50 a piece. We've really tried to make this an affordable first event. We know people have extra fuel costs and maybe an extra day on the road. So we've done everything we could to keep the pricing down. And the $565 includes dinners Friday and Saturday night for the driver and lots of other amenities like that.
Yeah, I think anybody who's, you know, done a couple of racing events this year is going to realize that's a value, right? I mean, it's not a particularly high entry fee, $100 for the weekend for full garage, you know, that's pretty good stuff. Yeah. Pretty good. Well, so when does this exciting event take place? Or has it already happened? We got to tell the...
Registration opens at 2:00 on the 13th of October, which is Thursday afternoon.
Awesome.
And we have a schedule. Our whole thrust has been to give people track time. If they're going to come, we're going to make it worth their while. So we have no enduros, no featured marks. It's just track time, track time, track time. And that'll start. There'll be 3 half-hour sessions on Friday. They'll be qualifying on Saturday with a couple of qualifying races. And we're actually have two feature races for each class on Sunday. So by the end of the weekend, they'll have some semblance of understanding. It's a rhythm track. Once people get it, it's going to be just sort of like Watkins Glen in the sense that even though it's big, it's a rhythm track. And I think we're hoping by the end of the weekend that most people get that down as much as possible.
Yeah, no, I mean, it sounds like they're going to have the opportunity to learn the track, right? I mean, if they're getting, you know, three sessions a day, 2 days and two sessions on the Sunday, that's a lot of time to go out there and, you know, learn the line. So sounds like a good experience.
We're hoping to make it that way.
Of course. How many entries do you have now, Alex?
I don't know, 70, which is sort of normal given the pause post. You know, there was that pause after having the event at Road America. And then in the next week is when we would anticipate a lot more pouring in.
But got that's it.
So also we're asking, we're delighted to do the podcast just so we can get this out to the rest of the world right now. And we do have to shift our mindset too from Road America to the, you know, we had the great event at the, one of the granddaddies of American courses. And now we've got something that we think in the, as time goes on, can be something that's as appreciated and becomes a part of the, you know, the aspirational tracks to go to in vintage racing.
And as Road America was a couple of weeks ago, and the week before Road America, we had 100 entries. So people are just, I think, looking at the weather and looking at, you know, the, see if the car is going to be ready. But we expect that there'll be a push at the end to bring those numbers up also.
Right.
So that was, and it was, Dan is right. In rough sense, we went from low hundreds to 300 plus in about a week and a half for Road America.
Yes.
And by the way, the weather forecast looks spectacular from the last that I saw. I think it was like, what, low 70s? Dan, I don't know if you look at it lately.
And dry.
It looks perfect. It looks exactly like what we were hoping for to give our constituents in the Midwest the chance to not have to worry about snow flurries coming at them while they're on the track.
Yeah, well, it's again antithetical to my worldview where it barely rains and it never snows, but good heavens, we don't want to race in snow flurries, do we?
Well, we took a date away from Blackhawk to get this date, and we've had snow at Blackhawk this time of year. We're about 300 miles south of Blackhawk, and it's enough to make the weather a lot better.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's an important point too, to put out to, you know, people in the Midwest. And I did, you know, I'm sure you're aware that there was some grumbling about the Blackhawk thing, right? You know, and so if it makes it all the way out here to me, it's grumbling, right? But, you know, this is a very different track and obviously going to be quite an experience. So definitely, you know, undo those prejudices and travel to the Ozarks and try out this new circuit. And you can do Blackhawk next year, right? I mean, you're always going to have a date at Blackhawk. So.
Well, we have Blackhawk in June for sure.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Which is one of the reasons we didn't feel badly about taking the second date away because we had a date there.
Right. Well, you know, the familiarity of things, people like things they're familiar with, right? They go to the same event. They literally pitch their tent on top of the same holes that they did in the paddock last year. I mean, having gone to the June event at Road America, July event. Yeah. And like literally the same car is parked in the same place, you know, which is kind of cool, right? You know, you go around and you meet people. Hey, I remember you. You know. But, you know, new is good too.
Well, the flip side of that is, and I had one of our entrants mention this, nobody's got a home track advantage. You know, how many tracks have you showed up at with the same car and some guy blows your doors off and they're driving blindfolded? But this one's an even playing field, and it'll be fun to see how people progress over the years.
So I know you've raced there already. Has anybody in your group put out, you know, a keys to the Ozarks or something like that so that people that are coming for the first time have an idea about how the track runs? Are you going to do a track walk on the first day? I mean, 4 miles, maybe you shouldn't do a track walk.
Well, what we're doing instead is we're doing a track drive.
Okay.
Right away Thursday night, we're going to open up the track for streetcars for at least an hour, and people can start. It's too long to do a track walk and a drive around, but it's going to be a station wagon run starting Thursday night to familiarize it. We've got a track, Peter Zekert's a local racer who's made a study of the track, and he'll be doing Duck Waddle type chalk talks. So we're trying to cover, and there's some really good onboard camera work. There's several sites, including ours, that have onboard cameras that really show you the way around.
Yeah.
Some of our most respected drivers actually put together those videos, which there are links to from the website. So that's to help people to get up to speed quickly.
There we go. So we've got a reasonable entry fee. $100 gets you a garage. It's a 4 mile track in the mold of some of the best tracks in the US and Europe. It's got a brand new racing surface of immense quality. Gas is $1 a gallon. No.
And the
it's
weather.
$1 a quart.
$1 a quart. Well, given the price here, $1 a quart would be a good deal. So,
and we also have what looks like spectacular weather.
Right. Oh, yes.
And that's really important too.
Yeah, absolutely. Bring up. I mean, again, I live in a place where, you know, if you have to discuss the weather, it's because, you know, you're on the nightly news with some kind of disaster, right? You know, but it is a consideration out there. So, all right. Wow. Okay. So the only thing that we should add to the end of this is please go register now, not all at the end, because Stacy Donato really would like a, you know, an easy way into this thing. She doesn't want to do 300 entries on the last day.
She will if she has to, but she would prefer not to.
Absolutely.
And it would certainly make the catering a lot simpler too.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. How is dinner Friday night, dinner Saturday night? Was that the,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, both.
Right. Awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for your time.
No problem at all. Happy to learn something about this event. And hopefully we have an article in the November issue talking about how successful it was. This is another problem for me. I have to find somebody who's going to go to the Ozark and take pictures. You know, it's the same problem as getting people to tow there, you know. Yeah. All right, fellas. So, well, good afternoon, and thank you for being on the
like
podcast
getting,
with me.
Getting
thanks for having
involved
us.
With Road America thank for the first time. It's all of right. That caliber, and that's really what the draw should be, both for racing and for coming down to take the pictures and writing the stories.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's great and really exciting to learn. And, you know, I wish you guys all success. And if people have questions, it's the VSCDA website is the place to go, or what's the...
I think that'd be the right thing to do to start with. And then things get referred over to Dan or to Stacy.
We'll get them answered.
ASAP.
Awesome. Okay.